Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
G'day everyone, welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. It is I, Lyle Swithenbank. This is a sportsethos.com presentation. You can follow us on Twitter, at Ethos Pelicans, at Lyle Swithenbank. Now, I foreshadowed potential guests in the last episode, or perhaps another episode in between the post-game of the Miami Heat preseason game. And you know what? I delivered. You're welcome. I'm joined by the wonderful Cheddar Chaz. You know him from Spaces. You know him from Boot Crew. How are you going, mate? Good to have you on here.
Thanks for having me, man. It's a pleasure to be here. Pleasure to be here.
The Pelicans, they're back after the Siberian offseason, it felt like. The wasteland.
It was rough.
Man.
It was rough.
How are you finding having actual Pelicans basketball back?
You know, for a content creator, it's definitely a blessing. You're not, you know, you're not just throwing stuff up against the wall these days. There's a lot of things to actually report on, things to actually evaluate. So I'm happy they're back. I'm very happy. How about yourself?
Yeah, man. I'm glad. It was one of those times in my life where I would just scroll Twitter, hoping that some sort of skerrick of basketball news was out there, and right. There wasn't much going on. Had to watch NFL, which I'm not a big NFL guy. Started getting right into it because of this offseason. I've now neglected my fantasy team already. So we're ready, gearing up for the basketball season. Life comes at you fast, I tell you what. Big season ahead. Probably the headline, I guess. So we might as well kick off with this, is Zion Williamson. We were waiting, you know, the chosen son has arrived and he's looking fantastic. What are your thoughts on Zion joining this or rejoining this team?
Man, he just looks really happy. He looks enthused. You know, $198 million, potentially $230 million. That'll really, really get your juices flowing. But he looks happy, man. He's always smiling. Looks to be in pretty good shape for what we've seen. You know, happy that he's back, he's healthy, he's motivated, because, I mean, it's been a very tumultuous past couple years, man. You got a lot of rumor, obvious injuries, you got things going on in room and innuendo about his camp, his weight. So it had to be tough on him just to do the thing you love and be back out there with your teammates. It has to feel great.
Yeah, for sure. And to do it at, I suppose, 22 years old, you know, I know people like, oh, you know, but he's a man, he's professional and all that sort of stuff. And I was like, well, I know what I was like at 22, and to be given that much money and that much pressure, I mean, gosh, it must weigh on you. And you saw that a bit in those interviews, I suppose, that he was giving afterwards, where, you know, he had the mental issues and going through it, trying to find the positive in it all. And back with a vengeance this year, which, he looks like it so far. Obviously, a bit of rust in the first couple of preseason games. The first one looked fantastic. Probably the last two, getting his legs under him, working out how to play with an array of different guys. What are your thoughts been? Same line, he's a bit rusty?
Yeah, you know, man, when you really think about it, it's like it's been over 500 days. It's almost 2 years. Like, when you really think about it, you're like, that's incredible. That's incredible. In anything you do, basketball included, it's a perishable skill. So if you're not actively doing it continuously, playing against other NBA players, you're going to see a little rust. You're gonna see guys, struggle to find their way a little bit early on. But the thing that's been most impressive to me is the intensity as far as the effort and things like that. You see him trying defensively, you see him trying to make things happen offensively. He's got to find his way. Eventually, I trust those shots to fall just because I've already seen it. And I think give him. A guy like that, you have to give him all the grace to just figure it out. Because, like I said, it's been over 500 days. It doesn't even seem like it's been that long. But then again, it does seem like it's been that long. So it's just crazy. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be fine.
Well, we had an extra year of pandemic in between, The last year feels like about 15. So, I
Man.
mean, I don't know. It's been the quickest, but
Man.
also the slowest year that we've had. So,
Right.
it's, I don't know, but it's good to have him back. That 3-point shot in the Spurs game, I was like, where did that come from? That was delish, and I was very impressed. Get
Yeah.
that going; it'll be
I
helpful.
have to imagine he's working on that mid-range, everything. And I trust him to take a couple of those a game, honestly. Like, if he takes it, guys like that, I'm not mad at the shots they take. They've earned the right to take those types of shots. And he knocked it down. Hey, what can you do? That's impressive.
Exactly right. And I think having that outside game all of a sudden makes the defender say, well, I don't have to stand back here because I know you're not just going to try to dunk on my head.
Right.
JV probably did that a bit more this year as well. I know not comparable athletes, but start shooting those threes, all of a sudden the defender has to come up on you, gets you with a
Right.
pump fake, and he's rolling past you. And I think you got a couple of baskets doing that. Well, a fair few baskets doing that this year. And being accountable from outside is game changer for Zion, and it'll make his job easier. Won't have to get belted every time he gets
Yeah,
the ball.
absolutely. And they say even if you aren't making them that consistently, the threat of a guy taking that shot keeps the defenses honest a little bit, So I think, hey man, you want to get better, you got to try things, and you try them in live game, live action. So if he's able to add that, if he can be a 36% 3-point shooter moving forward, that would be incredibly impressive. Just because no one would have saw that coming at this point. Like it would open up so many things for this offense and his game particularly. I'm a big Zion believer, so I think if he was to add that, I think you'll see regular 50-point games from a guy like Zion.
Absolutely. And you see one go in, all of a sudden three goes in, and then you're well on your way to those 50 points, and makes it
Yeah.
easier than having to jump through 10 blokes in the paint every
Right.
time, for sure. One thing that I did notice in the first couple of games was I mean, I don't like to harp on the referees, but they are not calling those fouls on him already, which in the middle of pre or the start of preseason, it does not bode well for the season coming up. Does he,
Yeah.
do you think he just has to keep going at it, force those fouls, or?
I think we saw some of this last year too, how the league, they wanted to start off early, not calling as many fouls. But when you see guys like James Harden suffering and the LeBrons and the Lucas, you're like, oh, wait, maybe we need to get a little more generous with this whistle. I think with Zion, the crazy thing with that is how he was barking at the refs. I'm like, I've never seen that side of him before. So I think what you see is a guy who's more comfortable in his own skin now, and he's going to start taking the refs to task, and it's going to force them to make those calls. So of course, every call isn't going to get made, but I think even if they were missing calls on Zion, you could see Zion taking 14 free throws a game.
Yeah.
Like even when they miss calls, like that's how dominant of a force he is in the interior. I think he's going to force them to make those calls moving forward, though.
Yeah, for sure. And those, well, that game that he was the second one, I think, and he had 12 free throw attempts, and only hit three of them. So I think he was a bit in the post game, he was annoyed with himself about that, but would be. But it's got to come. And I agree with you. I mean, last year it was Damian Lillard, Trae Young. They just completely lost, averaging about 14 points or something, because they just were not getting calls at all. I think the internal memo came down from head office saying, let's just use that a little bit more. It'll be good because the fans like to
Yeah,
see
that's
this
not
guy.
the 80s. Like, we got sponsors here. We need 100-point games. Like, what's going on here?
These are $30 million athletes. Please stop. Please stop. Let him
Treat
get
them with a little
whacked out of
respect.
the air.
Yeah, like, come on. What are we doing here? Well, I think last game he only took two, right? I think he went one for two last game. Now, that's crazy. If you ever see that, now that's crazy.
And like, he was talking.
There's no way. Yeah, he was talking to him. And I think him and even Willie, I think those guys are going to earn that reputation to where you're going to give these guys the benefit of the doubt. Like, oh, Zion wouldn't just miss that shot. So he was fouled. You know, you're going to get that. You're going to get that at some point. You just got to be consistent with him.
Yeah. And hopefully, as he, I suppose his clout continues to build with the refs going forward, I think in that relationship, what they always talk about, you have that relationship with the refs. I think that will continue to go. I mean, he was angry at times. He seemed standing, someone else was shooting a free throw, and he was there just, that's easy stuff. What are you talking about? And he was clapping his hands, and I loved it. Oh, that's the attitude that you want from your star. You want that, right. I'm the best, give me the free throw.
Especially when you is a guy who isn't really that vocal. Like when you see him coming down, you're like, oh, wait a minute, this guy maybe he is a bit of a killer. Like maybe he does have that side to him where he's going to demand certain things. And that's all I've been hearing about this offseason with him in training camp. It's like, yo, this is a different guy mentally. Mentally, he's ready. You know, in an extra $35 million will do that to you.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, like you guys don't understand. I need to make all NBA right now. I need these calls. Like this is my life here. Like so, yeah.
You do a bit of damage with an extra $35 million. I tell you what.
Oh man. Yeah. Yeah, you could. You pretty good. You know, get you a nice build a nice garden. Extra $35 million.
You could. Yeah, and a ride on lawnmower.
Yeah, you know. Hey.
Absolutely. One guy we haven't seen yet in the preseason is our leader, I guess, in Brandon Ingram. Sorto, hopefully nothing more sinister going on, and it is purely that he's just worked out a bit too much and dinged the toe up a little bit. What are we looking forward to seeing? Have you heard anything if he's far off or any rumblings that he might be ready to roll?
From what I've seen, I think it's more precautionary, just him, you know, kind of wanting to make sure he's 100% before he goes. Brandon is a guy who really likes to, from what I gather, he likes to make sure he's as close to 100% as possible before he gets on the court. I think what I'm mostly looking for is for him to get as comfortable as fast as possible. I'm one of those people who I felt like this season, these preseason games were extremely important just because I know Brandon tends to struggle a little bit out of the gate when new high usage guys come onto the floor, right? I'm not worried about JV. He's professional. CJ is professional. Brandon's a professional, of course, but he tends to kind of not know exactly what to do when a high usage guy comes on the floor. And Zion, you can see he's out for blood. He's a good facilitator and all that, but Zion's out for blood. So we need to get these guys on the floor as soon as possible so we can kind of figure out, you know, chemistry, who likes the ball and what spot, etc.
Yeah, for sure. And we saw that with the acquisition of CJ. It took four or so games before BI and CJ were comfortable playing together, and it took a bit of a sit down over a glass of wine and a meal and to work out how they want to operate. I suppose we have that little bit of benefit that he has played with Zion a year ago, but it is going to be interesting because we've got three guys that love to operate in that mid-range, close to the bucket role area. So there's going to be an adjustment for sure. One thing I think that's going to really benefit Zion as well is Brandon's, I suppose, well, his reputation now after the playoffs, they all talk like he's a top 20 player now, if not better, which he showed he can hang with the best of them. Plus his facilitation. I thought his passing ability just went through the roof in the last year. Do you think that's going to help?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, when we first acquired Brandon, that was one of the things that when I went to go look at some of his Lakers film, I was really impressed by how much of a really good point forward he could be. I think he's an unselfish player. He knows when to take the difficult shot, and he wants the difficult shot in the big moments. But I think Brandon is a very solid facilitator. And I've actually seen Zion look really solid facilitating this year early in the preseason. Like he has some really incredible bounce passes to Trey. And CJ, we know he's a veteran. He's willing to do whatever it takes to fit in, knock down shots when he needs to. He's capable of 30-point scoring outbursts when necessary. So I think Brandon's facilitating with Trey Murphy, Zion, JV, CJ, I think you're gonna see Brandon get about 6-7 assists tonight easily this season.
Well, he's got plenty of weapons to pass to, I tell
Oh,
you what.
absolutely. Yeah.
And one highlighted in the last game yesterday, Trey Murphy. Six, what is he, 6'10", 7'1", or something now?
Yeah,
They keep
we could just round up to 7 foot now.
He's
Round up,
well, exactly. Yeah, nice round number.
Yeah.
He's looking strong. He's looking,
Yeah.
especially in this last game where they said, if you've got the ball, shoot it. You know, let it
Right.
rip. Because when that happens, all of a sudden you've hit seven of them. You dunk it on people. That nice bounce pass from Zion with a little backdoor cut into a dunk.
Right.
Oof, I mean, he looks like he could be that almost complete player. And down, it's not for, unforeseeable to see that he could become a really top tier wing in this league.
Yeah. You know, I'll say this, man, and this might be a hot take, but I think Trey Murphy on another team, starting on another team, he's probably a 16, 18 point a night guy. I think he has that, he's that great of a shooter, in my opinion, already. And he's added this new quick release. Like, I'm a big Klay Thompson fan. So when you start showing me like Klay Thompson like skills, plus his length defensively, things he can do, he's a great rebounder, how he attacks the rim. One shot in particular that I thought was more impressive than all the threes yesterday was he got into the mid post and he did a little spin move, like hook shot. And I was like, oh, if he adds that, now he's getting scary. Now it's getting a little scary. So I think he looked incredible yesterday, man. I have Trey penciled in as my closing five for a lot of nights this season.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, like you said, when he started operating in the post and I was sitting there, settle, be still my beating heart. I was like, oh, he's got it
Yeah.
all. But that's what you want to see from these young guys. You know, it sounds like this rookie class that we had that came in last year were just the hardest working, well, still are the hardest working people on the team.
Yeah.
And to see that development from year one, you know, Trey sort of went through it a bit, looked like fantastic in summer league. Had to improve his jump shot to get a bit quicker. Came back and was instrumental in us in that run towards the end of the year. And I think he's going to play a really big part. And we need everyone else on different teams to go away because we
Right.
really like him. So please
Right,
stop.
right. Like when you know when I look at Trey, Herb, Jose, even Dyson, like guys who come in and you see like their body change. Like you've seen like, oh, they've been in the weight room. Like when I look at Jose now, I'm like, he looks totally different. He's even starting to look taller to me now. Like that's how much like muscle I've seen him put on. And it's like, yo, guys, they aren't waiting until year 10 to go work with the legends. No, Jose, he went to go work with Tony Parker right away. You know, these guys, they're eager to improve. They want to win now. And that's what's the most impressive thing to me. Because when you're a guy like Jose, who you have your contract for the next couple of years. Trey, you have your contract. Herb, you have your contract. You just want to get better. You're thinking 3 and 4 years down the line. And that's very impressive to me to see with these young guys.
Oh, for sure. They really have that drive to be great. And I think they see what we're building here as well. And I think they realize this opportunity to come into a team like this that perhaps there is success on the horizon. And it comes down to making sure that your 15th guy is the equivalent of someone else's eighth guy. And that might not mean that you get all of the playing time that the eighth guy might get on a different team. But you're only as strong as your weakest part, and to see
Right.
those guys at the bottom or bottom dragging
Right.
everyone else up, you know, that I think that's great to see, and it's exciting for this team. Delegation of minutes, though, is going to be
Oh,
tough.
yes.
I mean, Willie Green, second year at the helm, he's got a tough task ahead, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't envy Willie's his circumstance because I mean last year it was rough because you had a really lean roster with injuries and things like that. But Willie does seem to have an affinity for the veterans. And sometimes, man, you just have to play the best guy, the guy who gives you the best chance to win. And that's gonna be the young guys who you have equity in. So I'm hoping not to see some of the veterans we've seen in the preseason. And I hope we see more of Dyson. I hope we see, even if it's 10, 15 minutes here, I hope we see more of Trey. I don't think you can justify not playing Trey Herb this
Yeah,
season.
agree.
Like, yeah. So I just hope to see the guys that we're invested in moving forward into the future versus some of the guys we may play out of respect and loyalty.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, everyone so far has, well, for the most part, has played well, and you can see that there's competition for spots. Willie said, if you want to play, you better earn it. And we're seeing that, I think, further down the bench, guys that may have got big minutes last year that we were screaming at the TV saying don't, have resurfaced, and perhaps that's just preseason. I'm sure the rotation will shorten as we go, and no doubt the Twitter GM and coaches will jump on and quickly petition the reduction of minutes of certain players, but not to criticize their other input, but on court is difficult at times. And I would like to see a lot more of Dyson and Herb and Jose and, you know, these younger guys that are coming through that, like you said, we're invested in. And
right,
all well and good to be decent this year, but you want sustained success. That's what they're all preaching, sustained success. Well, it comes down to you're getting these 19, 20-year-olds, and I suppose they're all pretty close to that, but give them the reps now so that you continue to be great. You can build legacies, and, you know, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's how you build a consistent team.
No, I don't think you're getting ahead of yourself at all. I think there came a point in time when Steph had to take over for Monte Ellis. Like, it was like, hey, you can't have both of these guys here anymore. Yeah. And it just comes a point with, especially with this organization, I think you don't want to be trying to thread the needle forever between development and competitive, like being competitive. I think at a certain point, you really have to just, you gotta jettison some guys, because if they're not a part of the future, and it would be one thing if they were contributing to winning on the court. Mm. That would be one thing, and it would be more of a difficult decision to make. When you're not necessarily seeing that, you kind of got to go with guys, your young guys, because you don't want them to go and be having a second rookie year because they didn't get the reps their first year. And I think we saw that with the Kyras, and you know, when you had the pandemic with Jax, and even guys like Zion, who, you know, you just don't want to continue that trend. So yeah, I think sometimes you just have to jettison some of the vets if they're not as productive as the young guys coming in.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we have a bit of a glut, I suppose, for want of a better word, of guards at the minute. I know with Kyra coming back, I saw the footage of him. He looks incredible. He looks so fast. Now just working on getting that, getting his confidence back, I suppose, get trust in the knee and the jump shot and the actual basketball instincts back, I think, is what he was talking about. Take a bit of time. But there seems to be a bit of a blockage there, you know, a bit of a bottleneck in terms of we only got so many minutes at the guard position. We've now got Jose, CJ, Devontae, Kyra coming back, Dyson, G-Temp plays there a little bit.
Even Herb plays the two a little bit.
Brandon plays the two a bit. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of guys that can handle the rock, and there's only one ball, and you don't need that many point guards. So I don't know who the odd man out is at this time. I think they're going to hold on to Kyra to at least give him the chance to show what he's got. I think he's a bit of an unknown quantity, particularly because he played well right before he did his knee. It looked like he was going to have his best game ever, and then his knee exploded, which was just head in my hands watching that, because you want these young guys to succeed.
You know what's funny? I actually saw Kyra. I saw the light come on a few times with Kyra under Stan Van Gundy. Mm-hmm. And maybe because he just had the opportunity to play. Like, there was a game particularly against the Pistons in Detroit where the team was getting blown out, and Kyra was the only one on the team who was still fighting in that game. He was, you know, he was going back and forth with the Pistons and arguing and stuff like that. He just showed that he had the heart to compete. I think they're going to give Kyra every opportunity to, like, you know, regain some value, improve himself. I think if he was ready, I think he would get the nod over Jose initially, just because of the investment, him being a top pick. D. Graham, I think you have to kind of give D. Graham an opportunity to do what you initially signed him for, and that was play off of Zion. His catch and shoot numbers are really good. And even if you wanted to move him, you would have to attach an asset. So you kind of have to give these guys a chance to regain some value. The great thing about Dyson, I think, especially defensively, he can play multiple positions.
Yeah.
Herb, multiple positions. Griff, multiple. I'm sorry, Brandon, multiple positions. Even Zion, Trey. But I do think you have too much of one thing in the backcourt. I would like to see that kind of the fat trimmed a little bit there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, particularly small guards, I suppose. I think we've got a whole heap of guys around. I mean, small, but, you know, 6 foot. 6 foot one, 6 foot two. There's right. Dyson coming in at 6'7", I think helps a little bit, but then you've also got to be able to find him minutes to allow him to right. develop.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'll tell you one thing. I mean, I'm biased about Dyson because, listen to me, but what I've seen from him, we knew coming in, his jump shot was a bit skew-if, you know, that was not a work in progress. Yeah, exactly. That's a word for it, a phrase. And, you know, we had Fred Vinson, he's working his behind off getting that right, and the form looks okay. But what I didn't expect was his hunger to get the ball and his defensive instincts. I knew he was a good defender. I didn't realize that he was so cool and collected that he's just like, I'll just take that, thanks. I'll just rip it out your hands, like whatever. He's so much stronger than I anticipated, and that's really caught me off guard. What do you think of Dyson? This is the Dyson fan club over here, by the way.
You know, initially when the pick was being made, I was a little, well, I'm not even gonna say little, I was very skeptical.
Yeah.
Just because when I think about teams in the playoffs, I really have an affinity for dynamic guards, like guys like the Ja Morant, so even the Colin Sextons, like when the game slows down, they're just moving a little bit faster than everyone else. Jalen Brunson, you know, just those quick twitch guards when teams tend to lock in and kind of shut you down scoring. With Dyson, I've always saw Dyson as a connector wing. And when I went to go watch a lot of footage on him, I'm like, yo, this guy's defensively, he's going to be really, the word I used was good. Yeah. Now, from what I'm seeing in the preseason, oh, he's great. He's going to be, some would say, I've heard people use the word elite already, just because, like, the guy, his professionalism, his understanding defensively as far as when to switch, when to pass off, when the how he's the rotate. And, you know, of course, team defense is going to be, you know, a bit of a thing going into this season. Everyone working together, finding that chemistry. But I think Dyson defensively right now, it's even if he's Herb Jones's protege, right? You couldn't ask for a better tandem than Herb Jones and Dyson right now, especially in a division where you got to go at Luka, Ja Morant, Green in Houston. You know, you got some serious guards out west, the Warriors, you know, even Chris Paul. And from what I've seen from Dyson defensively in the preseason already, oh, I'm extremely impressed. Like, I'm really looking forward to seeing him take on some of those challenges.
Yeah, and me too. You know, one of those things about Dyson going to the G League is that we just didn't get to see him in Australia at all. They don't broadcast it. You don't get to see much of it unless you go looking for it. So it was a bit of an unknown quantity, even to me, who sort of follows the Aussie basketball pretty heavily down here. To see and to hear him speak, I think I watched a few interviews with him, and he doesn't sound like a 19-year-old. He sounds like he's media trained. He responds like with proper answers. He's considered, and then you see him on the court, and that sort of comes through. He's considered about what he's doing. You know, he said we come on, he had the adrenaline in the beginning, he was a loose chicken or whatever he said.
Yeah,
and you know that. That I think he can understand. Then all of a sudden he settles into the game and he's closing close games and making some of the biggest plays. So
right,
hopefully his ankle's nothing too serious, and no doubt that's probably precautionary. It looked like he tweaked it a little bit, but we'll see what happens there. So what going forward? I mean, that was probably hitting on a lot of the main guys. I didn't talk about CJ, but that's all right. What's your prediction for this year? I mean, if you could look into the universe, and how do you think this team's going to go?
Man, I think health permitting, I think this team could win about 50 games. Considering our history with help, I think it can be about a 45 win team. And I say that because I think the sum of our team's parts are better than teams past, but I do think there still has to be a lot of, hesitancy would be the word, because of our injury history. My personal opinion is that CJ and Brandon and Zion will only play 50 games as a tandem, right? But the great thing is you got a guy like JV, who to me is the X factor a lot of times. You have Trey, you have Herb, whose offense is, you know, proven to be better than even a lot of people expected. You have your CJ. I think this could be a 50-win team, but I'm gonna say 45. I'm going to say 45 just to be safe, help permitting.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. And I suppose what makes me nervous is that we're having these silly little injuries now. And I know
already,
out longer with these precautionary, you know, it's preseason, but I just want everyone to go into the season healthy. That's all I want. Just have one game at the start. We go, this is what we've got. Because if you can get them all right for, you know, March, April, when you really, if you do unfortunately fall towards play-in area, you're competitive then, because you want to be, you know, you don't want to be early ripe, early rotten. You want to be right at the end. You know, that's the goal, because you don't win championships in October. But I hope we get that 50 win. I feel like we have, if I look on paper, comparing to anyone else in the West, I think we can hang with the best of them. I'm scared I'm scared of the Nuggets. And they're beyond that. There's some good teams. There's the Clippers. There's the Suns will probably hang around a bit again. Dallas looks all right, but I'm not scared of them like I'm scared of that Nuggets team that's been together. I think Jokic is just so much better than everyone else at that position, and most guys on the court, that in the West it's tricky. And I think the Nuggets are going to be a big factor this year in the playoffs.
Yeah. And that's the team to me that I'm like, hey, y'all got to remember what Jokic did last year without any help. Like, Jokic is a bad man. But, you know, like they always say, and of course we're not rooting for this, but
yeah,
sometimes you're going to get the injury luck. You know, there has to be a point in time where, you know, the injury guys, you know, basketball guys, they show favor to you. And I do think, man, if healthy, I'm not scared of anyone. That's just the thing. You gotta stay healthy, and that's all. If you told me this year that the team was gonna be healthy, I'll say, oh, we're a Western Conference Finals contender, right? I would pencil us in, but I wouldn't even have to see us play a single minute. I would pencil us in. And to your point, you don't want to peak early in the season. I would much rather be the Celtics than the Bulls last year.
Yep.
Remember last year early, people was trying to blow the Celtics up, and the Bulls were the Eastern Conference favorites. And boy, how that turned, you know, and it's just crazy. It's crazy how fast things could happen. But, you know, the West, I think the West is going to be tough. Well, interesting this year.
Yeah.
You got Portland with Dame coming back. You even got the Kings. I'm looking for as many teams to be better than the Lakers as possible. I just need everyone to be better than the Lakers. So,
well, all those guys have added players. You know, Kings have got Sabonis. Portland just added Jeremy Grant, who's an all-star. Yeah.
Dame's coming back.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's always a bonus, isn't it? You add a guy like that. And a little bit quiet in his last preseason game, but it's not going to take long before that bloke is just ruining people's afternoons. Like,
and they got some teams, you know how the seasons always start. You got those guys, they start off hungry, you know, OKC, you know, some of these, what, matter of fact, I don't know. Cause I did hear that Shea has a sprained MCL, right?
Yeah. He's out.
So Yeah, so maybe they'll start off a little, you know, a little raggedy. We'll see, because, you know, early in the season, everyone thinks they can win. Everyone has pride early in the season. Around December, January, all that goes away.
They start looking at that 7'5" Frenchman sitting in France there doing everything. That's when I'll be looking.
I can go for a little Wembanyama. Why not?
Yeah, it's middle of January. We're about 30, probably 25, 30 wins. We could win 60 next year with that guy.
Like, nah, Shay, you sit down.
Yeah, take a load off.
Take a load off. You know, you've been working hard. You look tired yesterday. Don't bother. You know,
go back to Canada. Go and have a rest.
Family.
Exactly right. No, it is. It's 100% like that. Now, one guy I want to finish off with before we get out of here, and I appreciate all your time, and I get criticized all the time because I don't talk about this guy enough, is Herb Jones. Everyone listening out there, I'm talking about Herb Jones, all right? I usually speaks for himself, all right? Guy comes in, second round pick, older, 24. Oh, to be 24 again. He comes in, game translates straight away, starting second game of the season. Unreal defensive capabilities. Gets a 3-point shot. Let's just talk about the Church of Herb Jones. What are your thoughts on Herb and what can he do this year?
Man, I'm you're hearing it here first. I think Herb is gonna force the team to make some very interesting decisions moving forward, because you have a guy, you have a potential defensive player of the year candidate on a second round player's contract for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
I think he's incredible. I think he's wise beyond his years. I think he's worked on his body, worked on his offensive game. Before he got hurt in that first game, he was a terror. Yeah. He came back yesterday against Josh Richardson. Yeah. He terrorized them all night. Josh Richardson couldn't do anything. I really think Herb is better than a lot of us even realize, man. I think Herb has a little Scottie Pippen to his game. He can facilitate. He can defend. He can play the four. He has a little more size than Dyson, so he's probably going to be better against longer fours. But I think Herb is going to be really good. And the greatest thing about Herb right now is that you got him in the second round, and he's on a cheap contract, and he's willing to do everything it takes to win. He sees him. Came into the league season.
Well, we gave him that Scottie Pippen contract, even, you know, we'd lock him in early and then all of a sudden he becomes an absolute absolute weapon. But
on the bus. He'll work it off the bus.
Yeah, exactly right. But I suppose the difference is that this bloke doesn't seem to have any ego whatsoever. He just loves to play basketball. He's like, oh, I'm getting paid all right. And good. And we're winning and I'm awesome at everything, and then I'll go and fish in Alabama, and life's pretty good. I mean, simple life, and happy to have him on the team. Chaz, thank you so much for joining us. Where can we find you? Can you give us a plug of everywhere and what's coming up? And that'd be
great. New show every week, Hot Takes with Chaz on Boot Crew Media. That's available on YouTube. Everything, Twitter, TikTok is at Chatter Chaz. You know, a lot of people like to, you know, get online and give me a hard time. Like, I consider myself to be objective. A lot of people think I'm a negative guy. But, you know, this ad chatter chat, I love discourse, love conversation, and I expect to be very active in the spaces this year. I think this is going to be a great season.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Guys, this has been the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I'm your host, Lyle Swithenbank. Follow the show at Ethos Pelicans, at Lyle Swithenbank. Stay safe and bye for now.